Hello, my name is Edwin.
What up? This is Jeff.
And this is Franek. Welcome, everyone, to Tilted.
Not
Stirred.
What up? What up? Another beautiful, beautiful evening. It is Monday, September 12, 2022. Wow. What a week. What a week, guys. You guys, apart from what we're going to talk about today, y'all have anything interesting to share?
Yeah, I went to Hollywood Horror Nights yesterday. It was pretty nice.
Wait, that's already up?
It's already up. Yeah, it started last week.
How was it?
It was really fun. You know, all the, you know, mazes and stuff. And the weekend had a maze there, too. It was really interesting.
The weekend, like the artist?
Yeah.
Was it that mirror maze you had in the Super Bowl?
So the weekend, apparently, I'm not a big The Weeknd fan, so I don't watch his music videos, but during his music videos, right, he's been telling a story, like the entire time he's been telling a story, kind of deforming himself as a character more and more as his career progresses, and that was the haunted house. You know, it was
interesting.
You know him. Because in, I think his latest, you know, that he has a song that's like super popular right now. In that music video, he's like severely, has like a lot of plastic surgery on his face, right? Oh, and in the music video before then, he had stitches all over, like stitches, and he had his face wrapped.
Oh, right? I think I've seen that, yeah.
Yeah, so he is telling a story through his music videos, and that maze was the story through the maze.
Wow, it was pretty cool. Is that a first? Like a music video or like a pop artist having like a maze? Like something like that? I don't know. That seems...
I would think maybe Michael Jackson.
Very interesting.
During the thriller maze?
Yeah. That would have been dope.
Huh.
Yeah, maybe I don't know. I thought you were going to say, is this a first where an artist tells a story through a bunch of music videos? And I was just like, bro, you're forgetting in the closet.
You cannot be mentioned.
Yeah, he cannot be.
Yeah. What did I do? Oh, yes. Okay. So on Friday, I went to a Quakes game. I don't know if you guys are familiar with the Rancho Cucamonga Quakes.
The single A affiliate for the Dodgers.
Yes, sir. So they had a Julio Diaz bobble night on Friday. And so we went. I have a bobblehead of Julio Diaz now, and like basically like a rookie fit. So that's kind of cool.
Sick.
Well, it wasn't sick. However, was that it rained that day, and we didn't make it past the bottom of the second because we're already like, dude, we're fucking soaked. Let's get out of here. And it turned out to be good timing because later in the day we found out that the game was suspended at the top of the third. So. We barely missed any of it, but we got to see two home runs, inside the park home run. It was like, holy shit, like the rain was really, it started to look like a little bit of a clown fiesta at one moment, but very cool. A very cool experience. Never went to a baseball game while it was raining.
It does sound fun, though.
Yep.
And it's not fun. I did it once when I was a kid, and yeah.
We didn't have a poncho or umbrella or anything, so we're kind of just sitting there like trying to enjoy it. And I also took my youngest brother. It was Isaac and I, and we got a third ticket for Brian, and he just turned 18, by the way, so now I feel really old.
Oh shit, I think I met him when he was 3.
Well, there it is. So he's 18, and yeah, so did that on Friday, and then on Saturday went to Benihana's for the second time, and it was still super, super good. Went to El Torito before as just kind of like just to go to the bar, have some chips while we wait for our reservation, because it's best to go to Benihana's with the reservation or else there's a good chance you're not going to be able to be seated. And El Torito... I already knew they fell off, and this time, like, the experience was enjoyable, but just, like, the ambiance is just, it isn't like it was, like, let's say 10, 15 years ago.
You went to El Torito 10, 15 years ago?
Yeah.
Shit, dude.
Dude, we're almost 30. I mean, we're practically 30. Like, we're...
Goddamn.
We can talk about things now. Like, remember 10 years ago, 20 years ago? Yeah, yeah.
Shit. All right. Cool. I used to have a Universal Studios pass 10, 15 years ago. And yes, it has changed. The Super Mario Land or Super Nintendo Land is being built, and they already sell Mario gear in the park. So it's kind of cool seeing people with Yoshi heads, Bowser heads. I was gonna buy one if and only if they had the Toad hat, but they didn't have the Toad hat, so I was like, fuck it. You know, I wasn't about to be running around with a Yoshi head, which is, you know, he's my favorite character. But, you know, between wearing a Yoshi hat and a mushroom head, I think a little mushroom would have been dope.
Yes, yes. Walk around as like a mushroom head. I like it.
Yeah. Crazy aside.
All right, Jeff, what did you do this past week? Anything cool and exciting?
Not cool and exciting. Very tiring and exhausting. I've been painting the goddamn house like all week.
Oh, wait a minute. Like the inside or the outside?
The inside.
Wow. Hey. That is awesome. That is exciting.
That is exciting.
What color are the walls now?
Well, I did the ceiling in the living room, and that's white. But we got to do a second pass because the paint didn't take. And then I did the kitchen. Or no, the dining room. I did that, the ceiling white, but we need to do another pass on that. And then today I did one of the walls. You know when you come into the house and the table's there and then like there's the big wall to the left?
Yes.
That's the wall I painted today.
Wow, very nice, dude. Very nice. You're helping your dad out with that, or you're doing it when he's gone? How are you doing this?
No, when he's gone. So on his days off, he'll come in and sand everything down. And then I'll paint it during the week.
Dude, that is dope. That is dope.
Yeah, sounds fun. I've painted a few houses before, so it was pretty fun.
I did it once, and I hated it.
Yeah, this is miserable, dude. I'm sweating a lot. It is hot.
Yeah, and so without further ado, let's kick off that intro and get this thing started, shall we?
Let's get it. 8 minutes in.
Yeah.
I still want to argue about the whole iPhone thing we were talking about before the podcast.
What do you got against iPhones?
So, just recently, Apple surpassed Android in the market share in the United States for the first time. It just
For the first time?
Yeah, it just completely surpassed Android users in the United States, right?
Wait, what the? I feel like everyone has an iPhone.
Yeah, which is now recent. But, I mean, the thing is the thing with Android is that there's so many different phones and variations and...
There's a lot of different brands.
Exactly. So right, when there is just Apple, you have whatever the hell.
Oh, wait. Yeah, that's huge.
So
over 50%.
Yeah. So now Apple has overtaken them. And I was listening to some things that people were saying is that one of my friends said that girls will not message you back on Tinder but they won't message you back once you have their number if you don't have an Apple, like... messaging system, you know, you don't have the blue bubble
box. If it ain't a blue box, then I don't know what to tell you.
Now here's my question, like, how does that affect, you know, messaging? You know, if you I don't have an iPhone, so I don't understand this, but if I was to message you and it came back blue, right, is there a benefit, an added benefit to this transaction that we both have iPhones?
I mean, you've seen our group chat with everyone, right? They all laughed at this, reacted to this question this. Yeah, it's
annoying.
Yeah, but that's not a conversation. Like, that's just it's just reacting to what somebody said, but you're not inputting anything.
Like, Jeff liked an image, and then you get it in text, Jeff liked an image. Like, anyone who has an iPhone and has had the unfortunate situation happen where they text someone that doesn't have an iPhone, you'll know that when you react, when you want to do all the cool things that you can do on through iMessage, it doesn't come out the same to the other person. And I've been in, for example, back when I was at the university, like in a group project, and you know, you gather everyone's number so you can get it together. And then when it was all blue, everybody would, it's funny because people would point out like, oh, yay, someone had to do it. Oh, yay, we all have iPhones. And then we all laughed in iPhone. It was great. And I have a few friends that are reluctant to switch to iPhones. And it's unfortunate that those group chats are the experience is lessened by a singular person who wants to continue to swim against the current.
Well said.
What the fuck? How did you get all that out without choking on on this dude's dick? On Apple's dick?
You gonna say
dick.
Jeffrey Bezos?
Yeah, I was gonna say Bezos.
The wrong guy. But... His name is Tim Cook, Edwin.
Fucking Bill Gates' cock. How did you not choke on it? You know. But
speaking of iPhone, I'm gonna be upgrading my iPhone to the latest and greatest.
No, I'm good. I have the 12, so I'm still good.
I got the 8, so I think it's time.
I also have the 8, and I just shattered my screen, so I think I'm gonna go.
You have a Samsung though, bro.
You have a Samsung
8. Galaxy S8. The fuck.
I have an iPhone 8.
Well, no, because you say like Friday has an iPhone 8. That's a much older phone than a Galaxy 8.
That's true.
No, I think they came at the same time. They were concurrent in number.
Were they?
Yeah, they were concurrent in number until fucking Samsung for some reason decided to skip 10 or 11 and they went to 21. It was weird.
Because they wanted a 1-up.
Yeah, so now we are like Samsung's using the 2021, 2022, so stuff like that.
So the Samsung SA released April 2017.
Okay. Well, that's the one I have.
iPhone 8 release date.
I'm gonna guess
September 2017. So Edwin actually has an older phone than me.
Oh shit. All right.
Yeah.
Statement retracted.
So what are you gonna get? You're gonna get an iPhone, right?
No, I think I'm going to get the Fold. The Galaxy Fold.
Bro, that is such a gimmick. Why would you do that to yourself?
I think I like it. Just I mean, iPhone, either that man. One or just, you know, go with the Pixel. But the Pixel has its own issues right now where anyone with a fingerprint can log into it. So,
come on, Edwin, please. Come on, dude. Just get an iPhone, please.
Fuck no.
Right. So what do you have against iPhone aside from the mob of people who want you to switch to iPhone?
He's a hipster.
No, it's a walled garden that without having all of the iPhone things like a laptop, a Mac, a fucking iPad, like all of that shit works in like congruent with itself. I can message somebody with my Windows computer with my Android and be completely fine.
But you can?
Yeah. I can just sit here, my phone's charging in the back, and I'm just texting through my computer. And it's super easy. But...
All right, that is kind of cool.
You cannot do that without... Like, I can even put my phone screen on my computer and use my phone there. Like... You cannot do that without sucking more Apple dick and getting Mac and getting a fucking iPad. Like, all of that shit is a walled garden. And everyone who's in it, I 100% can vouch for the simplicity of what Apple gives you. It's a phone that once you get it, it's super intuitive and it works.
It just simply works.
I know that Android isn't intuitive. That shit is menus. It's shit's crazy. Like, if you don't know technology at all, go ahead and get an iPhone, right? But if you do know technology, if you do know, if you do understand the nuances of it, like, go ahead and, you know, you can hang with an Android.
And damn, you're sounding very gatekeepy right now.
I'm not.
Yeah, like, yeah, you're
leader. I'm not.
Well, if you're a real tech user, you'd be using Linux. Windows doesn't give you the permission like Linux does.
No, I gave it its props of being easy to use. There's no ease of use on Android.
You're calling me dumb? You calling me dumb?
I fucking hate y'all. Anyways, whatever. It is what it is.
If you were to get an iPhone, I promise you, you won't regret it.
I promise you, nothing would change.
Exactly. So why the fuck should I get an iPhone?
For the convenience of your friends and seeing blue messages.
Why must we continue to suffer with the green boxes?
Yeah, man.
Because nothing will change. And
that will change.
Everything will change.
That's the only thing that will change, but that is a significant change.
I'll like you even more, Edwin.
I'm good. All right, let's drop this. Let's move on, yeah?
Do you have any news? It is funny, though, that like in the dating scene, if it's not a blue box, it's scuff from the start.
Yeah, it's like, I would, like if you make your choices in that manner, like, I don't want to be with you.
What color boxes or bubbles or whatever you want to call it do Android users get?
You can change them to whatever color.
So you can change them to blue?
You can change them to whatever color you want, yeah.
So you can see blue messages, but we have to suffer through green messages.
There's nothing wrong with that. That's crazy. I can make my messages come up as a, like, whatever the fuck I want it to.
Hey, maybe we should be pissed at Apple that we can't change Android text messaging to blue.
Okay, so Apple is shady as fuck. They've basically locked away their text messages with some, like, old antiquated system, and they refuse to switch to the new one because it's, like, I guess it's kind of proprietary, and they refuse to, like, share that technology. Because you know how in the group chat we have, when you send a video, it looks like shit.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's because of Apple. It's because they deliberately leave it like that because they want people to see a green box, get pissed off. They want people to switch to iPhone.
Oh, wow.
This is a marketing tactic.
Dude, I remember.
This is something they could easily switch.
And I remember when my girlfriend's parents saw my phone, they're like, "You have an Android? Does that mean you don't have, like, is that because you're
Does
poor?
That mean you don't have a job?
Poor.
Is that because you're poor?
I'm poor.
I knew it sounded like broken here.
I was just like, fucking excuse me.
No, I was no, just no, like, that's I'm pretty funny because
I'm just gonna let that happen. Like, whatever, dude. Like, I'm not gonna fight you over this bullshit here.
One of my homies is like the richest guy I know. He uses exclusively Androids and he shits on Apple all the time. So definitely not because you're poor. And I've seen the prices for Samsung phones and there are comparable to iPhones. Like they cost $1,000 or more as well. So definitely not broke. And I do recognize that Apple may or may not have, you know, brainwashed us a little bit. But anyways, let us get to some actual news, something that the people, they really, really, really want us to talk about. And that is the death of this Elizabeth person, Queen Elizabeth II. She oversaw the British monarchy from February 6, 1952 till September 8, 2022, and the reactions were split. We had, on one hand, a bunch of people that I think mainly, well, I was going to say mainly British, but unfortunately I saw even some Americans and folks on the news and stuff, basically kind of mourning the death of Queen Elizabeth, which, one point, I understand she was still a human being, and the death of a human being is sad, and et cetera, et cetera. I could care fucking less.
Hell yeah.
That the Queen Elizabeth is dead, because she's not my queen.
Parasite.
Princess what? Diana was our queen. She was the real queen we deserved. And I mean, this is what we got.
And she got her what? She got her hit, right? Oof. Hey, do we want to just keep glossing over this?
Hey, we don't know about that, all right? We don't know about that. It's unconfirmed.
Hey, I like to see MI6 come after us, bro. This is America.
This is not a conspiracy podcast, okay? We're here with only facts and no speculation or anything.
Well, then let's talk about the facts. She has a son who's a fucking pedophile. And she was fucking complicit with that. So, yeah, let's talk about the facts.
Oh, shit.
This Prince Andrew fuck, who, you know, was flying around with Epstein. And, yeah, she's just like, okay, yeah, let's sweep this under the rug. Oh, it's national news. Let's strip him of all his titles now.
Fucking piece of shit. Oh, it's a different guy.
No.
I thought who's the king now? Is it King Charles?
Charles.
Charles. Yeah. Okay, a different guy then. So you're saying Andrew is
a pedophile,
a fondler of the young ones.
He's a diddler. Yes, sir.
A diddler. Fucking hell.
Piece of shit. And the queen, you know, she was happy to sweep it under the rug until it came to light. And the guy should be rotting in prison right now. But you know, his mommy kept him out of jail.
That's what's a good that? Mom.
Queen Elizabeth's also cousins, right? The mentally handicapped cousins that she had.
She hid away.
She hid them away, and nothing was made of for their entire lives.
I think she was married to her cousin, too, no?
Yeah.
Whoa, what?
She married her cousin, yeah.
So this is on some, like, Game of Thrones Targaryen
shit.
This is
Game of Thrones shit, well, yeah.
That whole fucking family is incestuous, dude. You gotta keep the bloodline pure.
Are they actually?
Yeah, they come from an incestuous background.
Well, see, before I hated them, but now I kind of view them a little differently.
Not
now.
To mention what the fucking crown has done, the atrocities around the world, you know, the colonization of India.
Yeah.
That's a whole nother story that we can't get into right now because I don't know much about it. I just know they fucked everything up there. I've seen the pictures of the starving people, man. It's scary. It's sad.
100%, dude. I think when she died, the next day, I think I posted a little story on my Instagram saying, you know, like, this person lived without ever paying a cent. She lived off stolen goods.
Ain't
you know,
that the truth?
Never actually ever did anything for anyone. She was just a symbolic piece. She was the greatest parasite that's ever lived.
Yeah, so, what I really didn't understand is on Fox News they were kind of mourning her death, and I thought it was very strange because Fox News is it brands itself as kind of like the American, like, you know, the heart of America, the South or Republican, whatever you wanna, however you choose to describe Fox and their audience.
They lost a fellow white great person, dude. That's why they had to.
It could be. I mean, it's that or they just forget that one of the most American things is to, you know, basically set F you to the monarchy.
Yeah, 100%. But, you know.
They want to tax RT? Hell no. The shit out of here.
Fuck that.
Values and shit goes out the window with, like, nonsense, you know?
I guess kind of like when the Ukraine-Russia war happened, and they were talking about how sad it is that all these people are, you know, like all the news coverage around it, and people are saying like, yeah, because they're white, and that's why there's so much coverage on this, and they're so sad for them because they look just like you and me.
They look just like us. That fucking line, god damn it. God, that line would always piss me the fuck off when some motherfucking white person was crying on the internet about, oh, look at these atrocities. Look at these people getting shot in the street. Oh, my God. They look just like us. It could be just. I'm like, fuck off, dude. It's happening everywhere else in the world.
It reminded me of that one time that this was many years ago. And I think we're at Jeff's house. And I was telling you that I was going to get a tattoo. And you're like, oh, what color is it going to be? And like, oh, like a normal skin color. And you're like, so what color is that? I said, oh, like peach. And it didn't click to me that for me, what I thought of as a normal skin color was like my skin color. or something like of a lighter complexion. And I was like, wow, I'm part of the problem. That was funny. Like, it's one of those things that I wonder if the guy reporting on it, like, realized what he was saying. And if he realized it before or after he got the blowback. So, it's just one of those things. And yeah, so Queen Elizabeth is dead. She's, to many, she was a symbol of, I don't know. What would you say? The of hope, of British power, of
whatever. Tyrannical monarchy.
And then some people, yeah, will look at it the other way, like... If you call it not, like the British Empire and all the things that they did and fucking, I mean, we have India, Yemen, Indonesia, to name a few, and Ireland as well. So even white people weren't safe from the British Empire and their colonial
even some ways. Some English people were pissed. They're like, well, she's dead, and now we have to mourn. So a bunch of shit's closed, but we still have to work, and we can't even go watch the football game anymore. We can't catch our footy, bruv.
The Barclays
Premier League. I can't have a pint and watch the footy, bruv.
The Premier League is not Barclays Premier League anymore. The that Premier League decided on. To close down, and they thought that every other sport would follow suit, but they look like fucking idiots saying, like, oh, yeah, we're just going to mourn the queen, blah, 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 no games this week. And everybody else proceeded to have games.
Did they just assume that the rest of the world would stop their soccer games?
Exactly. They assumed that the rest of the world would not continue. And they looked like fucking idiots. And everybody was just like, yeah. Like, wouldn't the best way... Like, so a lot of things were said about this closure of soccer games this weekend for English clubs, right? Mm-hmm. A lot of things were said. And one of the things that was said was... We wouldn't want people to be at the games and disrespect the queen vocally, you know? They didn't want people to be out there and just be profusely disrespecting the queen or anything like
that. So, on a tangent, but very related, there's a post clip on Reddit. I don't know if you guys saw the video clip. Where Prince Andrew's walking down the street, right, for, like, the parade or whatever, the morning parade, whatever the fuck you call it, and some kid's in the crowd, and he's yelling at him, fuck you, you're a piece of shit. Like, he just, like, went off on him, and then the fucking, like, two guys, like, started, like, pounding on him, and the cops, like, yanked him away, and he got arrested.
Wait, who got arrested?
The guy yelling obscenities at Prince Andrew.
Oh, gotcha. I don't know, man.
It's fucking weird. Like, what is it? What?
So much for freedom of speech, am I right?
Yeah, guys? Where are we? What country is this?
This is still in England, but they are supposed to be free as well. I'm sure they have freedom of speech, but I guess not.
I mean, on the I guess I'll go on a tangent off of your tangent, but somewhat related. I remember seeing a couple months back an interview. There's this channel or this organization called Asian Boss that does a lot of different interviews for in a lot of different Asian countries. And just, you know, like asking them like interview questions and just trying to bring to light, you know, give these people a voice. Because a lot of people make assumptions as to like the way Chinese people act or let's say the people from Singapore or Korea, etc. Right. So he gives them like a little like a street interview just so that they can put it out to the world. Like, okay, this is, you know, like on the streets, this is what people actually think about these things. And he interviewed some folks in China and talked to, and it was actually with foreigners in China and asking them what their experience is like. And if they feel, if they have felt censorship and the very first guy was like, and this killed me. The very first guy was like, no, there's no censorship here. You just have to know what to say and what you can't say, and everything will be fine. I was like, no?
You can't like Winnie the Pooh here.
It's just an interview. So he wasn't going to like, he wasn't confrontational. He just let the guy talk. But it was just like, the very first guy was just like, wow. That's exactly what censorship is. But good job. But anyways, back to what Edwin was saying.
Yeah, let's pull back to tangents.
All the way back.
So where were we? I mean, she died
so far.
That's it.
Something about the football games and interviews.
So they essentially tried to stop a problem beforehand, took something away from the people, and then blamed the people for the reason why they took the problem. You know what I mean? They just took something away from the people, and then they blamed them. We took it away.
How am I supposed to watch Man U, bruv?
Yeah, they took it away because you would have fucked. You would have, you know, disrespected the queen. You know.
Yeah, don't be upset at us because you guys
don't know.
You guys were gonna say some wild shit.
I mean, even English people are like, who gives a shit? I think we should all.
She was like 90 something, right? Like,
yeah, 96.
I think my queen was Betty Queen, and she died. So there I mourned.
Betty Queen, who's that?
Betty White.
Oh, Betty White.
Betty White. Right? Okay, yeah. I'm like, whoa. Who's this one?
Betty White.
Betty White. Yeah. Just one last thing I want to say about the whole British monarchy or whatever you want to call them. Something that I found out was that from the 50s to the 70s. And this was kind of like at the height of decolonization and, you know, the British Empire isn't what it was back then, like present day, right? But so British authorities launched the Operation Legacy, which is a campaign to destroy all government records in the colonial administrations prior to the country's transition to independence. So they basically burned down or like put away and basically erased all information that could be quote-unquote used to embarrass Her Majesty's government or be used unethically by ministers in the successor government.
Isn't that what the South is trying to do?
Oof. I don't know, but because, I mean, due to all this evidence being destroyed, I don't know if we'll ever know really the full scale of all the genocidal campaigns that took place and all the crazy things and all the shit that was exploited from colonies and the list goes on.
Do you think it's important for people to know their history and what it came to or just be able to live in a society that was crafted for them to enjoy?
Isn't there like a quote where like if you don't learn the mistakes of the past, then you're just doomed to do it over again, like relive it?
To repeat it. Yeah.
Exactly it.
Yeah, I definitely believe that people should know their history, you know, especially the United States of how muddy it all is, you know, so that when you travel, there's just so many people that go and travel and say, oh, these people do not like me because I'm American. Like, understand why, you know, understand where they're coming from and then you'll have a deeper connection to where you choose to travel as opposed to just going somewhere and acting like because you're American, you should be treated with the same life expectation you have in America.
Well, what you saying, brother? Of course we should.
I don't think you should.
This is the greatest nation on earth. Yeehaw, brother. Damn where the straight. Real football is.
It's just blind pride is, it's always been a problem. And therefore, you should have pride, right? There's nothing wrong with having pride, but understand what came before you. I think that's a good place to be.
Yeah, I could see what you're saying. Like, I think there's ways to recall history in like a fruitful way, and then there's other ways that are kind of, like, it's just not going to, it's kind of like a non-starter. Like, if you want to know your history so that you can, for example, ask for reparations of Britain to your country, then, like, I don't know how valid these things are or how willing the British government is to, like, just hand out a bunch of shit, especially with how bad things are going there right now. But if it's like
that's their own fucking fault, right? Brexit.
Yeah,
and
no,
shit.
For sure. No, yeah, for sure, for sure. But what I'm saying is like, if you're gonna recall history so that you could just hate British people for things that were done like so many years ago, and like the British people of today aren't the British Empire of before, then it's kind of strange. Like, I don't know what you can learn from history if you just look at it as I'm gonna ask these people who didn't even live through this time to like give me stuff.
Yeah.
Versus just saying like, okay, well, moving forward, you know, this is we all know the, well, at least if you took like history and you paid attention, you understand how exploitative and how harmful colonialism was. And like moving forward, like the lesson learned is like, don't colonize people. Like, yeah, maybe that's superficial, but also like just knowing that the independence that, for example, America was able to obtain, the US, and that us being like an example of like this form of government, and then having other places also have their forms of democracies or something just for the people. Like, if you look at it that way of learning history and like what you can apply so that things could be better in the future, then yeah, sure. Could be good.
100%.
Not to say America is perfect, and we've done our fair share of bullshit as well. And maybe I'm like a little controversial on the whole reparations thing, but like I really don't know how reparations looks like, because even if you give people money, like maybe that's just enough for the people there to live better lives. But as far as like,
why the hell would anyone ask for reparations from England? Like, what? We weren't slaves.
Yeah, well, what I was just going to finish saying is, like, I don't know if it, like, how much it fixes like the history and the problem. But that could be me speaking from ignorance. So, well, you know,
it is, you know, what it is. It's funny that, like, I don't hate British people or UK or anything. It's actually quite the opposite, since a lot of who I am as a person was shaped by the UK and England. It's kind of weird, but as a child, I got into FIFA. FIFA is a UK-based, you know, EA, the makers of FIFA, is a UK-based company, and they put a lot of UK-based talent in their soundtrack, right? The soundtracks have a lot of UK like bands. So that's where I found out, you know, through a lot of like rock music, and my favorite band of all time, Gorillaz, right? Mm-hmm. They're from the UK, right? And of course, soccer, birthplace, the UK, you know.
It's funny, bruv.
Yeah, so it's just like a lot of rock comes from there, a lot of classic rock that I actively and still like adore to this day.
Rock,
like,
rock started here, homie.
A lot of like UK, like the Beatles, Liverpool, The Who, you know, all these like classic rock bands are from the UK, right? So,
didn't it start with like black artists, and then it was stolen by the white man, and then Elvis popped off.
That's jazz and like rock, yeah, rock and roll in the nutshell.
That's the evolution of rock, though. So
yeah, but it's crazy. It's really crazy, the impact of like to think about. Like, a lot of people are like, ah, fuck British people. Mm-hmm. So I'm just like, ah, you know what? They're okay. It's just they even don't really give a shit about the Queen, anyways. So
yeah, I only hate the French. They're so pretentious.
Yeah, so the Queen's dead, and in her stead we have King Charles, I guess.
Charles the Third.
And who, and you know, the monarchy will continue, I guess. But yeah, there.
I think he's like 76.
Yeah, he's pretty fucking old too. So ain't that something?
I think that's enough time for the Queen, and because I mean, we still have our topic, right?
Oh yeah. Let's go ahead and do what the people really came here to hear about. Topic of the day.
I wanted to introduce the I mentioned it before in a previous podcast, but I wanted to introduce the concept of quiet quitting. You know, some of us might be familiar with it. I know it's been a TikTok thing. I don't have TikTok. I just heard of it from everyone else freaking the fuck out about it. Have you guys heard about quiet quitting?
Not until you told me.
I heard about it, but that's because my girlfriend's also on TikTok.
Okay, so there's multiple definitions to quiet quitting. And I think I like what you have defined it as in our description, Frantic, if you would like to read that. And then I'll tell you something about like how that is written that could be seen problematic.
Sure. So I grabbed this from an article. Question, what is quiet quitting? Quiet quitting doesn't mean an employee has left their job, but rather has limited their tasks to those strictly within their job description to avoid working longer hours. They want to do the bare minimum to get the job done and set clear boundaries to improve work-life balance.
Okay. So you said quiet quitting, they just do what strictly is in their job description to avoid working longer hours, right? That's a portion of what quiet quitting is. Quiet quitting is you do what's in your job description and nothing else. You do not answer work emails outside of work. You don't subscribe to the grind set mentality and you leave work on time, right? And it's not in a means to just do the bare minimum, right? It is to do your job and only your job. And that by doing that, you're addressing systemic flaws in business that if everything is a priority, nothing is a priority. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
So there's a lot of things that say, oh, it's a priority for us to do this. You got to stay an hour, you know, to finish it. It's a priority for us to do this. And it's just like, if everything is constantly being labeled as a priority, we have to readdress and shift our notions of what our priorities are for the business, right?
Right.
And this is just to resist, you know, wage theft and people think they're putting in more than they're getting out of their jobs.
Sure. I mean, I'm sure we've all met someone at our jobs where their whole mentality is like, I get that, like, that's out of my
job description.
The description or out of like my pay range, or I don't get paid to do that. Like this whole notion of quiet quitting, although it has like a word for it now, that's not really something that's new.
Yeah.
It's something that, I mean, even I'm guilty of. I'm sure everyone listening at some point has just really felt like doing the bare minimum, like on some like last one in, first one out type shit. I was just going to say, especially in like manual labor jobs, like warehouse work, I did a lot of distribution warehouse work, and
they changed my job description without telling me.
That is not my job description. Actually, here is your job description updated.
Yup. So let me tell this story.
Oh, man.
So I back at Amazon, I was the king of VTO. For those who don't know what that is voluntary time off. Amazon is very efficient at the warehouse I used to work at. So by midday, the work was gone, which meant that they just start sending people home. So for like a year, I was signing up every day for VTO and I never got it. And I was just like, what the fuck, dude? I asked someone about it. They tell me, oh, well, yeah, there's nothing wrong here. And I'm just like, what the fuck? So I look at I go on my phone and go through the app, and my job description had changed. So before, I was a picker, and now it just said fulfillment associate. So I no longer qualified for pick VTO, because that is not my actual department.
Oh, so you kept signing up, and they were never going to give it to you, because yes. You're not from there. Oh, that's mm-hmm. funny.
Yeah. So yeah, that pissed me off, because every day I would show up, I'd pick for 30 minutes, and then they'd send me off to a different department. And oh, I just, I could never get VTO unless someone physically went up to me and was like, hey, you want VTO? And I was like, yes, sir. And they scanned me and I'd get the fuck out of there.
So no, that's like, the worst.
Not this the whole worst thing.
But that only happened like 3 times.
It's interesting that they changed your entire job description and didn't tell you anything about it, which is the primary way to combat this quiet quitting trend that's happening right now. Managers are supposed to talk to you and understand what you need so that you can do your work. Therefore, people you feel heard and you feel understood, and that makes people want to do more for, like, not more, but do their job to the best of their abilities. If they are understood and if everybody's able to work with each other, right? The thing that is pushing quiet quitting is to avoid burnout. A lot of people burn themselves out, and we are coming from the most stressful time in our lives. You know, we put so much mental strain and on everyone through the pandemic, and when people are coming out, right, the idea to preserve your own mental health is extremely important. What do you guys think of that?
I mean, yeah, that's why Amazon put up those crying chambers in warehouses. Have you guys seen those?
No, what's going on?
So some warehouses have added like a little soundproof room. They call it like a de-stress chamber, where you just go in and chill, but, you know, people just go in there and cry, and then they'll come out and go back to work. Jesus Christ. Yeah, some fucked up shit.
Yeah, that is wild. And I'll add to what Edwin was saying about burnout. I think quiet quitting isn't just for burnout. It's also feeling disengaged with your work, especially with a lot of folks working from home remotely. You basically feel less part of the team, and it's not because you're not on like Zoom calls or whatever it is that you choose your team uses to communicate. It's more of just like, since you're not with a person physically, and you kind of just feel like you're turning in reports and then it is what it is, and you have like the freedom to just kind of just like kick back in your chair and like either work really hard or not work that hard that day, depending on how you feel. And if you're a part of a team that isn't like micromanaging all day, then you have that autonomy. But sometimes that autonomy means that you're more of an individual and less of like another piece to the team. And to some people, being an individual will be very like liberating, and you get to like, you know, perform the job at your best because you feel like you can do your best work without pressure. But to some people, on the flip side, they probably just like never really feel like they're really part of the company because they're never at the facilities, or they never engage with their coworkers outside of work, because a lot of the outside of the work stuff, like if you work in an office, for example, and you get off of work and everyone goes to like the restaurant next door to just, you either eat lunch or after work, you know, eat a dinner or something and just have like a bonding experience. Like all those kind of things are lost. And so I think that's another reason why quiet quitting has been more prominent. On top of, like, as we know, a lot of people have been actually quitting, not just quietly, but like actually like full stop, just not no longer accepting poor work conditions or shitty jobs in general, shitty bosses.
Part of the great resignation, right? That's what they call it.
So you have people actually quitting, and then you have people that are quiet quitting. But it's kind of stupid that it's called quiet quitting. And as far as I know, the term was coined by like a corporation or like a business. And the reason why it became so viral is because a lot of people were shitting on just the verbiage. Just calling it quiet quitting, which... it's kind of like it riles people up, because it's like, we're not quitting. We're just not doing more than we're paid to do.
Yeah.
like, why is this called quiet quitting? So I think that's why a lot of people were shitting on it online.
Go ahead, Jeff.
I was just going to add that my mindset at Amazon was, I get paid the same as the guy doing nothing, so why should I put more effort? you know? Like, sure, I still did the job, but I didn't go above and beyond, because it's like, why? The guy who's not making raise is getting paid the same as much as I am, you know?
Well, like Franek said, you've seen the quitters, right? You've seen people who don't do much. You've seen, like Jeff, you just mentioned those people, right? But then there's the flip side, the people who go way above and beyond, that do every single thing that is asked of them and more.
Mm-hmm. And I got paid the same as them.
They volunteer to work weekends, you know, holidays. They pick up extra shifts. They stay late. But they never get promoted. You know, and on top of that, the manager is the one that is getting all of the benefits that person is producing. You're producing, you're making your manager look that much better, right?
Dude, so let me go into a quick story here from back in my days at Amazon. I was chilling in the cafeteria, eavesdropping on a conversation, and this dude, man, he was full on drinking the Kool-Aid. He was like, man, why are people complaining about all this extra overtime? Like, this was during peak. Man, like, they're just giving us free money. Like, why are people complaining about working 80 hours, you know?
Free money.
Like, they're just giving us a bunch of money. And I'm just like, wow, dude. Keep drinking that Kool-Aid. Keep working your fucking 7 days a week.
It's like, wow, dude, what you're going to make this year, Amazon just made it in half a second.
Yep.
Exactly. So it's nice. Kind of like, go ahead.
No, go ahead, Edwin. It's your turn. You may speak.
Oh, no. I've been talking.
Keep cutting you off.
No, I've been talking quite a bit. So if you guys want, keep adding to this. I mean, this is something that, you know, as I was reading it, it was very, like, triggering on both sides, right? Because for some reason, like, not for some reason, but this is a political issue too, right?
And political? What?
Yeah, it's a political issue.
Oh, God.
I hate to admit this, you know? But the whole, you just mentioned, I wanted to mention this really quick. You just mentioned that it's not about you. You're on a team, you're on a department, and you have to work according to the needs of the department. Right? That's something that you just stated. But for something that we're 100% familiar with, we have things that happened in the gaming community, especially the gaming companies, all of that crunch, all of that extra things that are like expected of you for you to keep working in this environment, right? And some of that consisted of crazy work hours. Some of that consisted of extreme sexual harassment. Some of that, like, a lot of these things that were compiled on that were never on the job description, but you had to partake in because you are part of a team, right?
I see what you're saying.
You have, you know, places like Blizzard who force their employees to go to parties in which they shared nude pictures of employees in the workplace. You know, you have places like Riot who, like, completely disregarded anything women said in the workplace, and they weren't part of the work culture, right? And it's like all these things that are compiled on and things that aren't necessarily put on your job description.
Yeah, I mean, there's slight differences there. One is being asked to do more than you're supposed to in terms of just work. And then the other thing is having to put up with extra bullshit that you don't need to put up with, like a cranky boss or inappropriate coworkers and all that stuff. So it's a little different. I don't know if it could be put under quiet quitting. But I see what you're saying about just having to, you go to work and you have things that are expected of you. And as much as you want to just do that, there's always external pressures to do more in order to keep your job.
But why? And, like, what are those external pressures, right? So you have, what are those? If you can elaborate on that.
I would say one is definitely, like, if the whole team is doing this, then you look like an asshole if you don't join in, because it's like,
right.
Now you're just giving them more work.
If everyone stays an extra hour or two and you're the only one, that's just like, I value my life my life work balance. And you know what? It's 5 o'clock. I'm punching out. Later, y'all. See you.
Which is fine. I think that's fine. But
yeah, is that
I understand the other side of it.
Is that the employee's problem or is that the employer's problem for not
that is 100% employer's problem.
Hiring more people?
Yep, it is the employer's problem.
It is the employer's problem, and the employee is the expectation is to basically complete the project or the work.
Yeah, so if an employer was to hire more people and everybody did exactly what's in their job description, there would be no need for somebody to spend an extra 2 hours at work, you know, hammering, like, going, you know, putting that much work into that.
Yeah, why pay many people to do one job when a few people do job good too?
Exactly. And that's a systemic issue. That's a flaw in the way we do business. We try to increase our profits, right, in every way, shape, or form.
Yeah. What I will say, and this might sound like a bit of a defense for companies, is that there are certain jobs that are highly skilled, and it's not as easy as just hire more people. Because, for example, you brought up gaming. There ain't a whole lot of really good game developers. So it's like a very small pool of exceptional game developers that, sure, you can just say, just hire more game developers, but having more game developers doesn't always mean better product or just like the timeliness of the project that needs to get done by a specific date. It doesn't mean that it's going to get done faster, because there is such a thing as like, what's that thing called?
Too many cooks in the kitchen.
It's like too many cooks. I had the word, and then as I was talking, I lost it.
It's like a team dissonance, right? You have way too many people
working. It's like productivity goes up, and then by the time you have too many employees, it actually has a negative effect. It's diminishing returns. There you go.
Oh, okay.
That's what I wanted to say. So sometimes it's not just quantity of employees. Sometimes it really is just unrealistic expectations from management or ownership. And sometimes it is just like they just took on too many contracts that day or that week or that month, and you crunched a little bit. But that's just kind of I guess if it's in the job description that, hey, it's gonna vary, and you know coming in that there will be days where it will be required of you to stay longer, especially the people that are on salary and don't get paid in hours and they have to stay in longer. Like, yeah, it definitely sucks for them. But some people, at least they're getting compensated despite it. It definitely sucks that you have to stay longer, especially if you have stuff to do.
I have worked 60-hour weeks, and let me tell you that after a month of 60-hour weeks, you are a shell of a person. And burnt-out employees are not productive. And I'll tell you that I was not productive after 3 weeks of doing 60-hour weeks.
I mean, I think we've all done 60-hour weeks for an extended period of time.
Yeah, you are just not productive. You're not happy. You're falling asleep while driving home. That shit is crazy. It's like being able to set boundaries to reduce that burnout, I think it's only positive, right?
Yeah. And how about I give you guys a few like a bullet points here of some of the signs of quiet quitting for those who still may be a little confused as to what it is. So signs of quiet quitting include the following: not attending meetings, arriving late or leaving early.
Hold on. That is not 100% not what quiet quitting is. Quiet quitting is you're there to do your job, and that is it. That doesn't mean being irresponsible with your job. It's in the sense of being late in something. Like, this bullet point is extremely biased towards
this is signs of quiet quitting, Edwin. Not that this is quiet quitting. This is signs. This is if you find yourself doing these things, then you might be quiet quitting.
That's not a productive. That's not what the definition of quiet quitting is. That's just.
I'm not saying this is a quiet. The definition, though, I'm saying these are the signs.
Oh, okay, but being late and shit, that's just
you. Arriving late or leaving early, you don't think that's quiet quitting?
No, I think you stay by the time that you have to stay, and then you leave at the time that is appropriate.
But you arrived late, and you're leaving early. You're not on time and leaving on time.
That's what quiet quitting is. You still have your job. You still function within the parameters of your job. If it tells you to be there at 8 a.m., you're going to be there at 8 a.m., but you are also going to leave at the time that you leave.
So this sign of arriving late or leaving early, I'm pretty sure it just means you're unmotivated and you don't care enough about your job to show up on time and leave on time, that now you're just arriving late and leaving early.
That would be different. I'm pretty
sure that's all that means.
Yeah, sure. All right, continue with your...
Reduction in productivity, less contribution to team projects, not participating in planning or meetings, and lack of passion or enthusiasm. So I get what you're saying, that this is all probably from the side of the company and their perspective on it. And to the, like, if I were to read these bullet points here, based on like me as an employee, not attending meetings would probably mean to me like not attending meetings that I don't need to be a part of. Arriving later, leaving early, it's like, that one I don't know how to explain, but like reduction in productivity probably just means that I'm doing exactly what I've been asked to do, but you're expecting me to do more than what I was supposed to, so I can read it that way. Less contribution to team projects, again, like maybe this isn't my team and I'm just being asked to do more for this team that I'm not even a part of. So sure, I can reword all these for like the employee's perspective, for sure.
Yeah, which quiet quitting is the employee's perspective, right?
Well, the quiet quitting is supposed to be the term that was coined by a company, which people are shitting on.
Yeah, which the whole thing is a misnomer, honestly. You just already talked about it, right? The whole thing is inappropriately named, where it's supposed to be you just do what you have to do and you leave, right? There's no more, hey, you know, we have this... other thing that you have to do. Can you stay 2 hours to do it? No. I got stuff to do. I got my life to live. It all boils down to, you know, living to work or working to live, right?
Yeah. Go ahead. No, go ahead. Go ahead.
So I did take two sources from like what all of this quiet quitting stuff was. I listened to a little podcast on NPR about it, right? But then I also listened to a talking point on Fox about it, and I wanted to tell you the dichotomy of what they were saying, right? So the NPR one's what I based most of my definitions on this, which were a little bit more pro
employee,
setting your boundaries, pro employee, basically pro setting your boundaries, maintaining your mental health, all this stuff, right? But then the Fox side, it was employees are doing less work but still bringing the same pay. How does that make sense, right?
yeah.
So, and they were talking about ways to counteract quiet quitting, which they coined quiet firing, right? Where an employee loses all possibility of advancement and does not receive raises, the hope is that the employee quits on their own, right? So that's what they've used as a tactic to combat this quiet quitting, right? And it calls out millennials and Gen Z, saying that 50% of the youngest workers out there are not engaged, right? And that's a big... That's a big word there, the engagement, right? Why aren't they engaged? There has to be something that is contributing to the unhappiness or instability of what this person is going through, and they're not being heard by their employers. Now, whether or not that matters to anybody, right? To like, if does that matter to you? That's on a personal basis. you need to be heard or understood to do your job, that's just an individual thing. Right? What do you guys think about that?
Jeff, would you like to go first?
I'm sorry, I've been zoning in and out because I worked a lot today and I'm falling asleep. Oh, it has nothing to do with the topic.
So the, I'm pretty sure we've all seen, especially if we had a shitty boss, how a certain employee will get treated like crap. And sometimes it is because of their own fault, but sometimes it is just because, you know what, this person, it just, if it's not in their job description, they're just not going to do it. And you do see managers basically either giving them like the shittiest part of the job as their task just to kind of get them to kind of jump off the cliff themselves. And I mean, that could also be just instead of firing people, because if you just straight up fire them, then you have to pay
severance and all
that. You
have
to pay severance or like unemployment and like lawsuits over discrimination. Like there's lots of things that go behind actually just firing someone straight up.
Well, in the state of California, if you quit, you can then articulate that the company basically forced you to quit, and you can then still receive unemployment benefits.
Sure. I mean, that sounds good. Sounds good.
So yeah, it's not
foolproof.
Exactly.
But I see what Edwin's saying about like the managers or someone higher up than you will just treat you like crap, like small raises or even like mentioned earlier, micromanaging and demanding employees to work after hours. A lot of these things can lead to that. So you just straight up saying, you know what, I'm actually just going to quit.
There are some negatives. I know I've been introducing this topic as a very positive thing because I genuinely believe that, you know, do your job, be responsible, you know, do what you got to do.
Equal pay for equal work.
Exactly. And then just go home and live your life. Your job is not your life. Your job is not you, who you are either. It's not an extension of who you are. It's a duty you perform for monetary gain, I guess, so yeah, that you can live your life. You know, if you base your entire personality of what you do as your job, then that's an issue. But what I'm saying is, like, there is some drawbacks to this, right? Where there's unconscious bias for women and people of color, right? That if you just do what you're supposed to do and don't go above and beyond, don't grasp at all these things that you can take off of your manager's plate, it looks like you're lazy and you're reaffirming your own the biases that have been put on you by that person, right? All these biases, like, oh yeah, this woman, yeah, she just does what she needs to do and she's lazy, right? That's just one of the things that could happen as a means of you adopting this mindset of not going above and beyond, right? What do you guys think about that?
I think this is a culture problem in the company. I don't think you should be viewed as lazy for just doing your job. Sorry, Frantic.
No, you can finish what you're saying.
I mean, that's just it. If you're going in, if you're doing your job, and if you're doing it well, and that's all you're doing, then you should not get shit on for not coming in and saying, I want to do 15 extra projects that had nothing to do with what I was already doing.
Yeah, is there a project that I can help out with after doing your own fucking job? It's just like...
I'm going to play a little bit of devil's advocate here.
Go ahead.
Well, for the people who go above and beyond, why do you think they do it? It's not out of the kindness of their heart.
Yeah, it's to try to move up, upward mobility, right?
Right. So, I mean, there's like two of the quickest ways to get noticed at your job is either if you do such an exceptional job that everyone's impressed or you fuck up royally. And so for people to adopt a quiet quitting mindset, or whatever nicer term you want to call it. Basically, if it's not in my job description, I'm not going to do it. So if you adopt this kind of mentality and you don't demonstrate to your manager that you also possess managerial abilities, because you take initiative, because you lead the team to complete a project, etc., how are you supposed to acquire a bigger raise if all you're doing is working at your current rate?
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the questions that you should ask yourself before you employ this this mindset, right? Are you comfortable with the idea that your career might not pan out the way you want it to? You know, there is that trade-off of upward mobility, right? If you're thinking about this idea, yeah, and trying to implement that in your life, right? Like, you do have to do some things that are not part of your job description, right? But it also depends on where you're at in life, right?
Yeah, I mean, I understand what's fair is fair, and maybe it's like a little too late into the episode to like bring this aspect of it up, but in almost everything in life, if you decide to do the bare minimum, then I don't see how you could expect an above average result. And this isn't just in work, but also, let's say, even in relationships. If you just do the bare minimum for your spouse or for your significant other, then I don't know how fruitful that might be.
Two completely different things, man. Two completely different
this is just me talking of a philosophy of not doing the bare minimum, but doing the best you can do.
I think the bare minimum, that just that quote, that phrase, bare minimum, is also
a quote.
It's already attacking. Yeah, it's already attacking the idea of
corporation.
You could have just said doing what you're supposed to do. Right? If you're doing what you're supposed to do, right, like, there is that possibility of either going well, things going well for you, or things going bad for you, but you are doing what you're supposed to do. Now, if you want to go back to the relationship, if you're doing what you're supposed to do with your significant other, what is, like, how does that gonna make you in any way, shape, or form negatively affected? You know, by saying bare minimum, you're already establishing a bias onto the whole idea of doing your job, doing what you're supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
I understand how it could come off, for sure. What my mentality and what I was saying is, if you're just doing what you're supposed to do, or maybe you don't like the word just, and you're just saying if you do what you're supposed to do, and what you're supposed to do in a relationship is on occasion go above and beyond, because there's like a base level of expectation of what you need to do or how you need to behave in a relationship. And in a relationship, I don't know if everyone has this expectation, but you should be expected to on occasion go above and beyond.
Okay, so going above and beyond comes from somebody who isn't a happy environment, right? That doesn't come from somebody who is in a negative environment, in a negative headspace. You're not going to want to go above and beyond, and which is what the workplace is to some people, right? Some people are in a negative environment at work and don't feel motivated to do more. Now, the solution to this entire quiet quitting, right, I air quote, is for managers to engage their employees and make them feel respected and heard so that they would want to go above and beyond in the workplace. That's the whole counter to this whole thing, right? It's not about people hunkering down and saying, well, I don't want to do it. It is to address that there is issues.
It's more like, why should I do it?
Yeah.
Not, I don't want to do it.
It's to address the issues that are already going on, systemic flaws. Like, if you hire 10 people to do a job, but it is expected of them, each person, to submit 3 to 4 hours of extra work for them to complete that job, why don't you hire 12 people, 13 people, right?
Well, I already discussed why it's not that simple, but yeah.
Yeah, well, exactly. Exactly, though. But, like, the whole need and want to go above and beyond comes from being in a positive work environment. And if you're not in a positive work environment, how are you expected to work above and beyond?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know what to say other than, like, you can lead a horse to water, but it doesn't mean they're going to drink it.
Yeah, but that's just, you're just now defending a corporation like Amazon in a sense of, like, oh, yeah, the reason why these people don't feel motivated or proud to work here is because, you know, they just want to just give up. When in reality, you're totally dismissing the fact that they're being exploited.
If you work at a warehouse, I don't know if anyone's ever said that's their dream job.
Well, exactly. But, like, that's the whole crux of the issue. It's not about the warehouse, because this same shit could happen in an office.
I don't know how motivated you can be to work at a warehouse.
Well, I'm just saying, I put that example out because it's familiar to all of us, right? But all of this can happen at your dream job, at Blizzard, at Riot, at fucking a gaming company that you want to work for forever, right? That all could happen in your dream job as well. But you get there and it's not what you wanted it to be. Did I lose my plot at any point, or am I still making sense?
Nah, I get you, man. Like, if you're in a shitty environment, you're going to want to do shitty work. If you're in a good environment with a good manager who gets to know you on a personal level and who actually cares about the work and isn't a corporate mouthpiece, but, you know, a voice for the workers themselves, where you can go to your manager, tell him, hey, this is going wrong in the workplace, and he can then go to corporate and come back and make changes, instead of the other way around, where corporate's like, hey, these workers need to do this much work, and you got to make them do it, you know?
Exactly.
I don't know if you guys are operating under the assumption that if you're in a good environment, you'll always be motivated and good at your job and happy to be there.
It's not an assumption,
you could be in the perfect situation. You could be at your dream job. And let's say that they ask zero bullshit of you and you don't have to deal with anybody being inappropriate or anybody being bad. Your managers are super supportive and they even allow you to take all the days off that you want, whatever you need. And people are still, like, not feeling very motivated at work, and they lack, like, a passion to move up. And it's, for some people, it's totally fine for you to work and
be not where everyone you is cut out to be a manager,
right? Some people are okay with where they are, and that's perfectly awesome. I also think that there's people that want to just do what's on their job description and then also look at their management and be like, well, how come I'm not getting a raise if I've been performing at the capacity that's asked of me for all these years? And then Sally, she took on a couple more projects, and now she's up and I'm still here. I guess the point that I've been saying is, like, if you want to stand out and you do want to progress, this is kind of just, like, the kind of shit that you have to do. And it isn't brown-nosing. It isn't, like,
at Amazon,
sucking up to them. It's just for some jobs, sure. If you don't even have to work. As long as you talk to the managers and you make them laugh a couple times, they'll be like, you know what? I like that person. Let's promote them.
Let me tell you 100% what you just said. And it's valid. I like that. I like that you said you can have all of the advantages in the world, in your environment. You can have all the reinforcement you need, but that person is not productive. Right, that's exactly what you
said.
Like
super
right?
productive. Like
okay,
like let me tell you that one person did a little bit extra and they got the thing.
Let me tell you that there's no need to quiet quit in that situation. That person isn't quiet quitting. That person is just not passionate about what they're doing and they're not engaged. That person is not quiet quitting. That's just a bad fit for that person. Now, quiet quitting comes from systemic issues with your workplace. It doesn't come from a very positive place. It comes from something needs to change. You're not going to quiet quit if you're happy as fuck in a place. Or even if that person isn't happy in a very good place, that person's not passionate with what they're doing. They're not engaged with what they're doing. And that person is a lost cause. So what quiet quitting is, you don't want to become that lost cause in your workplace, right? And which is why the solution is managers engaging employees and make them feel heard and understood so that that person doesn't end up a lost cause. You're not a lost cause if you're quiet quitting. You're just doing what's in your boundaries. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, like that person that has all of the advantages and just isn't productive is just not a very motivated employee.
I guess what I'm arguing is that it's not just the corporation's fault. It could just be the people's fault as well. That's basically what I'm saying. And I it might come off as like pro-corporate or pro-company, but it's at the end of the day, I've always kind of felt like it's within the hands of each individual to make the decision that's best for them. And if for them, sticking to the job description is their way to move forward, and if they're happy and complacent, then that's great. I don't think quiet quitting is a bad thing.
I mean, all in all, we did have a great discussion about this whole topic, you know, and it's like, it is a topic that we all go through. It's a topic that we're at work and we're just doing, you know, whether you will go above and beyond, whether you just do the bare minimum, whether you just want to exist within your own parameters of what your job description is.
Yeah.
I am like, all fine with going above and beyond if I'm getting compensation for it.
100%.
I think,
and that's not the issue.
I think where I really find it unfair, I guess, is where, if you're expected to go above and beyond, and you go above and beyond, and they gave you a thumbs up because that's what they expected of you, and then there's no follow through with,
which is what is happening,
with an incentive like, hey, thanks, you did great, and we met our deadline, so here's a little bono for you, you know,
which is what is happening in like corporations and workplaces.
Yeah, I guess that's where I draw the line as well. Not that everything that you do has to lead to something, but if you're expected to go above and then you just get a thumbs up and a pat on the back, then that does seem kind of grimy. All right. Well, let's, is this the longest one?
I think so.
Does size matter? I wonder if it does to our listeners.
Oh shit. It's an hour and a half. Okay. Well, maybe we can split this one in
a two-parter.
In two parters. Yeah.
We can do hashtag not my queen and hashtag quiet quitting.
No, we're doing it. It's all in one. What do you mean?
Sure. Why not? But, I mean, yeah, sure. So, yeah, that brings us to the end of our episode, man. Is there any parting thoughts?
The Dodgers clinch the playoff spot again. If they win tomorrow, then they win the division.
Woo!
Wow. Yeah. Then they didn't quit. Man, they've been putting in that work.
They did exactly what they were supposed to be doing.
I guess so. I actually, true. They're, to some or to many, or maybe to all, if there's no championship, then it's a failure of a season. So that job's not finished, as Kobe would say.
Job done.
Job not done.
All right. Well, our job is done, and you can reach us at our website, tiltednoster.com, or at our Instagram. You can listen to us on iTunes, Spotify, and YouTube.
Remember to join us to share your questions and voice your thoughts on what has you tilted, not stirred.
Adios. That was a great transition, by the way.
Yeah, that was good. I think you're starting to learn from me and all my great segues.
No, it's just not, I'm not tired as fuck today, so here we are.